Good morning, witches. This is the Witch Daily Show, coming to you from New Orleans, with host Tanya Brown. Our episodes span about 20 minutes long to give you just a little pop of magic. So, tune in, take a deep breath, and enjoy.
Good morning. It is March 17th, 2023. It is Friday. I am Tanya, and this is the Witch Daily Show. Today's episode is brought to you by A Curious Future by Kiki Dombrowski. So let's get your day going with a little magic. Our quote of the day is, "I enjoy the spring more than the autumn now. One does, I think, as one gets older," by Virginia Woolf. So what are we drinking today? We are drinking Witch's Cupboard. It's a tea from sipaspell.com named after the debris at the bottom of a witch's herbal cabinet. It is a cocktail of Egyptian chamomile, South African rooibos, and fresh peppermint leaves. So I figured we'd talk a little bit about like the folk history of chamomile. Monday we did magic, and then Tuesday we did topical, Thursday we did culinary, and today we're talking kind of crown. So chamomile is a popular ingredient in a number of magical rituals and spell workings. The two most commonly seen types of chamomile are Roman and German varieties, and this comes to us from learnreligions.com. While their characteristics vary slightly, they are similar in uses and magical properties. So let's dig in. So chamomile's use has been documented as far back as ancient Egyptians, but it was during the heyday of the English country garden that it really became popular. Country gardeners and wildcrafters alike knew the value of chamomile. In Egypt, chamomile was associated with the god of the sun, or the gods of the sun, and used in treatment of diseases like malaria, as well as the mummification process. It is believed that a number of other cultures use chamomile similarly, including the ancient Romans, the Vikings, and the Greeks. Interestingly, the healing properties of chamomile don't apply only to people. If a plant was withering and failing to thrive, planting chamomile nearby could improve the health of the ailing plant. Maud Grieve says of chamomile in A Modern Herbal, "When walked on, its strong, fragrant scent will often reveal its presence before it is seen. For this reason, it was employed as one of the aromatic stewing herbs in Middle Ages, and used often to be purposely planted in green walks and gardens. Indeed, walking over the plant seems especially beneficial to it. Like a chamomile bed, the more it is trodden, the more it will spread. The aromatic fragrance gives no hint of its bitterness of taste." Yeah, super cool. All right, witches, we are skipping headlines today. Why? Oh, it's because it was another cryptid article, and like, we're good, I think. We've talked enough about cryptids. So we're skipping it for today, and I'm going to throw this over to our moon correspondent, and then we will talk about Nostara and St. Patrick's Day after the break.
Hello to all of my astro friends. This is Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, coming at you with your daily moon mantra for Friday, March 17th. The waning crescent moon moves from the white cliffs of Capricorn to the laboratories of Aquarius today. Here, the moon squares Venus and conjuncts Pluto. Venus has moved into her home sign of Taurus, where she has much more authority to influence. The moon's conjunction to Pluto has us playing detective, trying to get down to the bottom of something. The square to Venus promises that if we put some elbow grease into this effort, we will be rewarded. Trying to get down to the bottom of a Pluto endeavor can be scary sometimes. Pluto asks us to pull up every rock, turn every corner, and shed light into every crevice. We don't always know what to expect in these places, but we can count on them being shadow creatures. We just need to remember to embrace these creatures as we embrace the light creatures. Your daily moon mantra is, You've been criticizing yourself for years and it hasn't worked. Try approving of yourself and see what happens. This has been your Daily Moon Mantra with Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, signing off and reminding you that you are in charge of your own destiny.
The Magic of Trees is not just a book on tree magic. It is about drawing on the strength of forests and tree energy to better connect with ourselves, other people, and the world around us. Each chapter reinforces meditations, spells, and rituals that will reconnect humanity with its roots at every stage of life. These practices take a hands-on approach to life and spiritual work. They lead to individual self-awareness and fulfillment through healthy natural practices. Plus, this text has the added benefit of fine-tuning spiritual tree connections, which never stop growing. Find the magic of trees wherever books are sold.
We are back. So we're talking rituals and spells. My goal is to give you some ideas of what you could possibly do during this Ostara season. These ideas are from spells8.com. So here are a few simple things you can do for Ostara this year, which is on the 20th, by the way. You can create an altar. Whether or not you worship the goddess of spring, you can devote an altar to the season of Ostara or to your favorite fertility goddess, such as Brigid, Freya, Demeter, Isis, Hathor. Altars are really, like, if you have that space, oof, it's lovely. So you could do lavenders, pinks, yellows, light blues, light greens. You can add spring flowers, decorated eggs, statues of rabbits or hares, feathers, seeds, a small broom or besom. You could put spring flowers like lilies or tulips, lemongrass, thyme, red clover. A word of warning, lilies are toxic to cats and small dogs, so just keep that in mind. I'm actually very allergic to lilies, so I guess it's also toxic to me too. Another idea is you can decorate and hide eggs. So this is really family friendly if you have little ones running around. You can put sigils on the eggs. You can do symbols like eggs symbolize fertility, creativity, and humility, but like witch it up. Like, put a little hole in there, put some herbs in there, put some sigils on there, you know, just like, live your, you know, just like live your life, make it witchy. Oh, and maybe, okay, here's an idea. I'm just like pulling this straight out of thin air. You could have like maybe 10 different types of eggs and they symbolize different things that that could occur during the year, like marriage or a bonus or like sickness. Maybe not something that's a downer like that, but you get what I'm saying. And then hide them around. And as people collect the eggs and put them in their little baskets, and you can then look at all the eggs everyone got and be like, that's what's going to happen to you this year. That seems like a lot of fun. Kind of a mix of like the Colcannon and the king cake idea. If you are looking to do any fertility spell work, now's a good time. You can do baking. So a common practice is to welcome the warmth of Ostara into the home by baking. You could do hot cross buns for blessing and protection. You could do bread with flower petals, peppers, or other vegetables. A lot of really fun, wonderful things. Ooh, perfect time to plant, right? So this is a good time to plant the seeds. Plant seeds in your garden. You could do floromancy, which is where you take two of the same type of plant, plant them side by side, take care of them equally, but have one established to one outcome and one established to another outcome, and see which one grows big and healthy and strong, and like that's the outcome. Super fun. You could do a rebirth or rededication ceremony or like a reinitiation if that's something you're into. So yeah, I think those are some really fun ideas and really easy things to do for spring. Okay, so we are also talking St. Patrick. I don't know when St. Patrick's Day is. I betcha it's today if I'm talking about it. Let's see. When is St. Patrick's Day? It is March 17th, which is today. I planned that out well. Good for me. Okay, so St. Patrick's Day. Let's talk about St. Patrick. Who is he? What's he doing? Where's he going? This comes to us from history.com. We've talked about it before, but when we talk about saints, it gets weird, okay? I don't know what's real. They don't know what's real. I don't know what's myth. They don't know what's myth, okay? So we're just along for the ride, so just enjoy the situation. So this comes to us from history.com. St. Patrick, the patron saint of Ireland, is one of Christianity's most widely known figures, but for all of his prevalence in culture, namely the holiday held on the day of his death that bears his name, his life remains somewhat of a mystery. Many of the stories traditionally associated with St. Patrick, including the famous account of his banishing all the snakes from Ireland, are false, the products of hundreds of years of exaggerated storytelling. First of all, St. Patrick was not Irish. St. Patrick was British, not Irish. He was born to wealthy parents near the end of the 4th century. He is believed to have died on March 17th, around 460 AD. Although his father was a Christian deacon, it has been suggested that he probably took on the role because of tax incentives, and there is no evidence that Patrick came from a particularly religious family. At the age of 16, Patrick was taken prisoner by a group of Irish raiders who were attacking his family's estate. They transported him to Ireland, where he spent 6 years in captivity. There's some dispute over this, of course. During this time, he worked as a shepherd, and he really, stayed away from people. He was outdoors a lot. It was said he was lonely and afraid, and that he turned to religion for solace, becoming a devout Christian. It is also believed that Patrick first began to dream of converting Irish people to Christianity during his captivity. That makes sense, right? You're kidnapped, and you turn to, the one thing you can do alone, which is, pray, I guess. So, yeah, you're going to hope that, it's a little Stockholm-y, this idea of that, my captives, they could be good people if only they were also praying. I pray. You see how it happens. Ooh, and then he started having visions, which I guess for Patrick went well, for Joan it did not. After more than 6 years as a prisoner, Patrick escaped. According to his writing, a voice, which he believed to be God's, spoke to him in a dream, telling him it was time to leave Ireland. To do so, Patrick walked nearly 200 miles from County Mayo, where it is believed he was held. And then after escaping to Britain, Patrick reported that he experienced a second revelation. An angel in his dreams told him to return to Ireland as a missionary. Soon after, Patrick began religious training, a course of study that lasted more than 15 years. After he became priest, he was sent to Ireland with a dual mission to minister Christians already living there and then also to convert. So, familiar with the Irish language and culture, Patrick chose to incorporate traditional ritual into his lessons of Christianity instead of attempting to eradicate native Irish beliefs. For instance, he used bonfires to celebrate Easter, since the Irish were already using fire to honor gods. He also superimposed a sun, a powerful Irish symbol, onto the Christian cross to create what is now known as a Celtic cross. So that veneration of the symbol would seem just more natural to the Irish. Although there were a small number of Christians on the island when Patrick arrived, most Irish practiced a nature-based pagan religion. The Irish culture centered around a rich tradition of oral legend and myth. Not surprised, right? All things considered, it's just not surprising that, these stories have become exaggerated over the centuries. Spinning exciting tales to remember history has always been a part of the Irish way of life. So, St. Patrick was actually never canonized as a saint. He may be known as patron saint of Ireland, but Patrick was never actually sainted by the church. It is simply due to an era he lived in. During the first millennia, there was no formal canonization process in the Catholic Church. So after becoming a priest and helping spread Christianity throughout Ireland, Patrick was just most likely proclaimed a saint. But, like, he was never sainted. So, yeah. St. Patrick's Day. Weird. I guess. It's fine. We have a big parade. I'm probably going to stay home. It's just not for me. St. Patrick's Day is not for me. Number one, people get drunk. And, like, that's not a ton of fun for everybody all the time. I'm good. Cool. All right, witches. We're wrapping up this episode of The Witch Daily Show. Let's see. I'm going to give a shout out to listener Nicole Brewer. Nicole, you charming, fancy banshee. Aaron Woods. Aaron, you brilliant, thoughtful sun goddess. Trish, you earthy, noble dragon. And finally, Victoria Hernandez. Victoria, you tenacious, esoteric unicorn nurse. Thank you for so much for being Patreon supporters. I really, really appreciate it. And before we leave, we do have a card pull today. Our card is Numo Numo from the Metaphysical Cannabis Oracle. This card is a reminder to connect to the entire network of beings on the planet. We are all intertwined within each other as we all come from the same source of energy. Connect with your inner warrior, healer, lover, and friend, and be the chameleon of your own life. Yeah. All right, witches, that's all I've got for you today. Don't forget any books, decks, headline sources, anything we've referenced today can be found in the podcast episode description or witchpod.com. And we will talk again next week.
Witches, we hope you have a wonderful day, full of joy and gentleness and confidence. Links for this week's episodes, our website, Patreon, along with a free daily card pull can be found at witchpod.com. One stop for everything we talk about. Now, take one more deep breath and have a great day.
I had an abortion when I was 15 years old in my home state of Arizona in 1994. It was not a decision that I made lightly, but I have never for one moment doubted that it was the right decision for me. But so much has changed in Arizona and many other states since then. If I were that same 15-year-old in Arizona today, legally, I would have to get parental consent. I would be forced to undergo a medically unnecessary ultrasound, go to a state-mandated in-person counseling session designed solely to shame me into changing my mind, and then take a state-mandated 24-hour time out to make sure I really know what I wanted. And finally, I would be forced to give the state a reason why. Well, here is mine. It is my body, not the state's. Women and their doctors are the ones that are in the best position to make informed decisions about what is best for them. No one else. No bill that criminalizes abortion will stop anyone from making this incredibly painful decision. These bans will not stop abortion from happening, but they will drive women and girls and people into the shadows, which is what this has always been about, shaming and controlling women's bodies. In the week after I shared my story on my show, women were coming up to me in the street, in the supermarket, at my gym, with tears in their eyes, thanking me for my bravery. But the word brave didn't sit right with me. Why is it brave to speak to an experience that millions of people around the world throughout history have gone through? And then I realized it is considered brave because as women, we have been taught to feel shame about our bodies since birth. I am so sad that we have to sit here in front of a row of politicians and give deeply personal statements because the why doesn't matter. It should not matter. I am a human being that deserves autonomy in this country that calls itself free, and choices that a human being makes about their own bodies should not be legislated by strangers who can't possibly know or understand each individual's circumstances or beliefs. I'm here today to help destigmatize a legitimate medical procedure and continue to encourage women not to allow themselves to be shamed for their choices. And finally, I am here today for my two little girls, Birdie and Cricket. My dream for them is that they will live in a world in which women are truly equal with complete control over their own reproductive health. That is the dream I hold for all people, regardless of their privilege or parents or what state they live in. That dream is slipping further and further from reality with every ban passed. I hope that you, our elected leaders, can help us reverse the tide. Thank you. I look forward to today's discussion.